Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for all that you've done through the death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for that which we enjoy today as believers. Father, I ask right now as we go into your word, that through the power of your Holy Spirit, you would minister to our hearts so powerfully to the point of transformation. Father, I pray that in order said, that you would be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know about you, but singing that last song makes you want to do something dangerous, especially the last two verses. Making Jesus known locally. I'm not going to try and better Vince's sermon it's only like exactly a year ago. And what does it mean, making Jesus known locally? And we've, like we said, Vince announced earlier on, we've got this leaflet on the table over there, just expanding upon what we're trying to do, especially over the next year, as an outreach team, staff, but also trying to get the whole church on board as well. And it's quite a large, it's a big dream. But maybe it's too big for man, but not for God. So I hope you take it with you, you read it, put it in your fridge, pray over it as a family. I know you put it on the fridge because you need to eat. So every time you see it, so please. Let's turn our Bibles, which you find behind your chairs, to page 624. Going to read Psalm 126 from verse 5 to 6. And it reads, "Those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. He who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him." George Sweeting, in his book, The No Guilt Guide for Witnessing, tells of a man by the name of John Currier, who in 1949 was found guilty of murder and sentenced to life in prison. Later, he was transferred and paroled to work on a farm near Nashville, Tennessee. In 1968, Currier's sentence was terminated, and a letter bearing the good news was sent to him. But John never saw the letter, nor was he told anything about it. Life on that farm was hard and without promise for the future. Yet John kept doing what he was told, even after the farmer for whom he worked had died. 10 years went by. Then a state parole officer learned about Currier's plight, found him and told him that his sentence had been terminated. He was a free man. Sweeten concluded this story by asking this question. Would it matter to you if someone sent you an important message, the most important in your life, and year after year, the urgent message was never delivered? We who have the good news and have experienced freedom through Christ are responsible to proclaim it to others who are still enslaved by sin. I ask us this morning, are we doing all we can to make sure that people get the message? This book, the Bible or Holy Scripture, is testament to this. God has spoken and revealed himself to man. He has made himself known. God has always desired to make himself known, and he has made himself known beyond Scripture. In the letter to the Romans, the Apostle Paul writes this: "The wrath of God has been revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse." Psalm 19 says the same thing. "In the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they declare knowledge." since there is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. God reveals himself even in creation. Two things are important for us to note this morning. Firstly, there's the importance of knowing God, or we can flip that statement and say, God wants us to know him. Secondly, the importance of making God known. The two go hand in hand. I said before, we minister to God to minister to man. You cannot claim one without having the other. A careful study of the Bible will show that, right from the start, God has desired to make himself known. Since man fell in Adam, God initiated a saving work, and through various individuals and one nation in particular, he desired to display his greatness and wonder. God said to Abraham, "In you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." From the very beginning, God wanted to redeem all the families of the earth. It was never his intention to select and isolate Israel as if they were the only people he cared about. Israel was the missionary people from whom God desired to reach the world. That's why he said to Israel, and he said this in Isaiah 49 verse 6, "It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth." Part of what angered the Lord was that Israel did not honor him before the nations as he desired. Throughout the Old Testament, and unfortunately we don't have the time this morning, well, unless you're willing to sit another, say, 2-3 hours, there is an abundance of evidence that God desired to reach the nations through Israel. That was the whole point. Isaiah 56 verse 6 and 7 says this, "And foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord, to serve him, to love the name of the Lord, and to worship him, all who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it, and who hold fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations." The Lord, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, did not want to remain exclusive to Israel alone, but rather they were to be his missionary nation. They missed the point. The church must not. God loved the lost world and sought to win it to himself for his own glory. Christ Jesus came into the world out of love and sought to win it for the Father's glory. Now the new ethnic, the church, are to go into the world in love and to seek to reach it for the glory of God. Our mission is the same as the Father's. Jesus said, "And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work you gave me to do." Reconciling man to God is the greatest way to glorify God. Luke chapter 19 verse 10 tells us the reason that Christ came. He said, "I've come to seek and save the lost." As the Father sent the Son into the unredeemed world, so the Son has sent the believers, the church. In honor of his glory and because of his love, God desires to be known. Fritz Kreisler, who lived between 1875 and 1962, the world-famous violinist, earned a fortune with his concerts and compositions, but he generously gave most of it away. So when he discovered an exquisite violin on one of his trips, he wasn't able to buy it. Later, having raised enough money for the asking price, he returned to the seller, hoping to purchase that beautiful instrument. But to his great dismay, it had been sold to a collector. Note the word, collector. Kreisler made his way to the new owner's home and offered to buy the violin. The collector said it had become his prized possession and he would not sell it. Keenly disappointed, Kreisler was about to leave when he had an idea. "Could I play the instrument once more before it is consigned to silence?" he asked. Permission was granted, and the great virtuoso filled the room with such heart-moving music that the collector's emotions were deeply stirred. "I have no right to keep that to myself," he exclaimed. "It's yours, Mr. Kreisler. Take it into the world and let people hear it." We need to share our faith. We need to make Christ known verbally and through our lifestyle. I want us to consider a few points this morning concerning the sharing of our faith. First of all, it's a commandment from the Lord. I think that should seal it, and I should close my sermon here and now. But because I like to talk, you're going to have to endure a bit longer. It's a commandment from the Lord. We know the classic passage, Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20. "Go, therefore." We're commanded to go. We're commanded to make disciples. It's not optional. I don't speak here to this congregation alone. It's a message to the church worldwide. We seem to have an impression that, you know, people debate and have fights on leadership boards as to whether to do evangelism or not. In other words, it's an option. But it's not optional. It's mandatory. We have to do this. Secondly, it's God's work to convict, and has given us the primary resource. When he told us to share our faith to make him known, remember he said he won't leave us alone. He will do what? He will send the helper. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says this, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." So we're not even expected to do this by our own strength or power, but by the Holy Spirit. He's done this for us. He's given us his gift. And he says, "This is the reason why I'm giving you this. Make me known." Another point I want us to consider this morning is this. In sharing our faith, we need workers. We need workers. Matthew chapter 9, verse 37 to 38 says this, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." I want us to note from this passage, the harvest is not the problem. The harvest is guaranteed. What is telling us, this is the Lord himself. Now we might say, "Look, God is sovereign, he'll sort it out." Great. But here is Jesus himself speaking and saying, "Listen, guys, I've got people out there, but I need workers." And people, somebody might retort and say, "Yes, but God can do a miracle through one man." You don't think Jesus knew that when he commanded us? Pray for workers. We need workers. We're all to get involved in this. Every believer is charged with sharing their faith. Not just the oddball, around, you know, the strange people in our midst. No, Simon, I'm not thinking about Ryan. But everybody, not just those who think, "Oh, he's an extrovert." No, every single one of us. If you read our leaflet, the one I've had put on the table, in making Christ known, what we've said is this: we want to give every household in the Good Shepherd Mission local area the opportunity to hear the gospel. Now, that's a massive task. That sounds impossible. What I'll say is this: we all get involved, that work would be that much easier. But not only this, it's not about so much the harvest, it's about making him known. Christ does the harvesting. The Holy Spirit does the convicting. That's not our job in the first place. All he's asked us to do is to make him known. Listen to what Leighton Ford said. I was speaking at an open-air crusade in Halifax, Nova Scotia. Billy Graham was to speak the next night and had arrived the day early. He came incognito and sat on the grass at the rear of the crowd. Because he was wearing a hat and dark glasses, no one recognized him. Directly in front of him sat an elderly gentleman who seemed to be listening intently to my presentation. When I invited people to come forward as an open sign of commitment, Billy decided to do a little personal evangelism. He tapped the man on the shoulder and asked, "Would you like to accept Christ? I'll be glad to walk down with you if you want to." The old man looked him up and down, thought it over for a moment, and then said, "Nah, I think I'll just wait till the big gun comes tomorrow night." Billy and I have had several chuckles over that incident. Unfortunately, it underlines how, in the minds of many people, evangelism is the task of the big guns, not the little shots. Next, I want us to consider sharing our faith is important and it's necessary. Why? Because it's our nature. You might think, what do I mean by that? Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, 16. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said this, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled on the people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." I want us to note the picture Christ gives us here: salt and light. These are elements that by the nature of their being change their environment. We all know that famous line, darkness is the absence of what? Light. For them not to do so, salt and light that is, would require doing something to negate the effect of their natural properties. I cannot help but be sweet. I cannot help but being, well, taste good. And I'm good looking. That helps. I cannot help but be light in community. The only way I can stop doing that is to actually do something that negates that. And that's to put myself underneath a blanket and hide away. Put myself underneath a bushel and hope no one sees me. But what does it say? We're standing out so that all can see. So it gives light to all who are in the room. So we cannot help but be to share our faith by our lifestyle. Sharing our faith should mean that we live our lives in such contrast that, or in such a way that non-believers would ask us, "Why do you live like that? What makes you do that?" And to get a better picture of this, we've all heard the saying, "Go the extra mile." Well, that comes from the Sermon on the Mount. And the context of that is this. Jesus was saying to them, "Listen, somebody asked you to go so far, go with them an extra mile or two." And what used to happen during that time was that the Romans had conquered Judea or Israel. And it was a common thing for some of the soldiers to go from town to town and get somebody, maybe a group of young guys, and say, "Listen, you, here's some load, carry it with us to the next town." Now these are people that were oppressed. They didn't like this. But Jesus is saying to them this: if these soldiers tell you, "Carry this load and go with us to this town," you say to them, "Hey, I won't stop here. I'll go with you to the next town as well." Because what they did when they got to the next town, they got another group of young people to carry on. But Jesus is saying to them, listen, your lives, you must live such a way. Kingdom life is this. You go that extra mile. You do something that makes people ask, why do you live like that? Also, sharing our faith must be a lifestyle and not something we do on a certain occasion. In the book of Acts, we read this in Acts chapter 5, verse 42. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus Christ. Every day. It was a daily thing. It wasn't once a month or once a week or once a year. It was a lifestyle. To do anything else would be to deny the very life in us. The same Jesus Christ and Holy Spirit that moved the church then remains today, living in you and me. I also want us to consider this. There must be an urgency about our outreach, about sharing our faith. Is there somebody you know, somebody that God has impressed upon your heart, but you're like, well, I'm not quite ready. I'll wait till I am, then I'll share my faith with that person. If it's so strong in your heart, go and share your faith. There's an urgency about it. Listen to this. In John chapter 4, verse 34 and 35, Jesus said this, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say, there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. When wheat is ripe, it's a golden yellow. If the harvest is delayed, the wheat turns white. If it is harvested at this stage, it will deteriorate and be of no value at all. Our Lord saw the lost world as a field that was white already unto harvest. It was encouraging urgency, saying, look, harvest is there, ready for the picking. And the urgency is this, people are entering hell every day. People within your realm of influence, people within your neighborhoods, people in your family, because they do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Because that's what it comes down to. We share our faith because of our love for Jesus and his glory. Remember a few weeks ago we looked at David. And we see with David a passion for God's glory. And he said this to the Philistines, to Goliath in particular. It's like, how dare you defy the armies of God, the people of God? How dare you stand against God's people, God's own? Today you will know that there is a God in Israel. In other words, we will make it known and people will hear about it that God is here with us. We need to have that same passion, that same drive. And like I said before, we need to share because people are entering hell. Romans chapter 1 verse 18 says this, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men. The wrath of God is revealed. There is something that goes around within the church today. Oh, but God is love. We know this. God is love, but God is holy and he's righteous. And he will judge. If we kid people and water down the gospel and give them something that's adulterated, we will have to give an account one day for doing that. The Times reporter of New Philadelphia, Ohio, reported in September 1985 a celebration of a New Orleans municipal pool. The party around the pool was held to celebrate this first summer in memory without a drowning at the New Orleans City Pool. In honor of the occasion, 200 people gathered, including 100 certified lifeguards. As the party was breaking up and the four lifeguards on duty began to clear the pool, they found a fully dressed body in the deep end. They tried to revive Jerome Moody, 31, but it was too late. He had drowned surrounded by lifeguards celebrating their successful season. Lyndon. This is what happens. There are people around us all the time dying without the knowledge of Christ. But you know what's even worse? No one told them. All we're asked to do is tell. Whether they accept Christ or not, that's God's business. All we can do is share our faith. So yet begs this question, why do we see evangelism or sharing of our faith as optional? Why do some of us see it as an inconvenience? Why have we relegated it to programs organized by the church? Why are we afraid? Why are we not motivated with joy to declare to the world the gospel, the good news, the gospel, the good news? If it's such good news, why are we keeping it to ourselves? The most obvious one is, of course, the enemy, Satan, who challenges the church all the time. This is why we need to be fervent in prayer. It's a spiritual battle. We battle not against flesh and blood. We know this. But I want to share something else with us, which is a big reason why people do not share their faith. In various surveys in evangelical churches, they ask people what was the reason for people not sharing their faith. Now, they had answers like, I don't know what to say. I'm too busy. It's not my style. I let my life preach to people. But the number one reason that people do not share their faith is fear. Fear of losing friends, fear of ridicule, and fear of rejection. Do you know what the Apostle Peter said concerning this? Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened, but in your hearts set apart or sanctify Christ as Lord. Why? For when you desire to please Christ and honor him, we get the right perspective. The Apostle Paul suffered for the gospel because he identified with Christ. He said in Corinthians, listen, there are other preachers, because they want the easy life, are willing to preach anything so they're not persecuted. But he said, look, I can't do that. I'm bound to this. I have to do this. This is what I'm called to. I've got to share the gospel. I can do nothing else. I've been beaten. I've been shipwrecked. People hate me. I've been abandoned. Other ministers left me alone in Asia. But you know what? I keep going. Why? Because people need to hear this message. I can do nothing else. I ask us, should we be more concerned about what family, friends, and the world think about us and be unwilling to pay the price or count the cost? Do you know what Jesus said about this kind of attitude? Fear not, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Going back to Acts chapter 1 verse 8, when we said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Do you know the Greek meaning of the word witnesses? It means this: one who dies for his faith. That's the actual Greek meaning of the word witness. When you say, "I want to witness," what you're saying is this: I'm willing to die for my faith. When those who understood the language heard witnesses, it wasn't something you could be easy believism about. You understood it meant you might die. It will cost you something. I conclude. Sometimes, telling a story has as much effect on the teller as it does the listeners. Martin Buber, the Jewish philosopher, recalls, "My grandfather was lame. Once they asked him to tell a story about his teacher, and he related how his master used to hop and dance while he prayed. My grandfather rose as he spoke and was thus swept away by his story that he himself began to hop and dance to show how the master had done. From that hour, he was cured of his lameness." When we tell the story of our master, we too experience his power. I love what Edward shared with us earlier on. Yeah, you know, I'm not so much like in a good place, but you know what? It energizes him doing what he's doing. There's not a prerequisite. You've got to, apart from being a believer, you've got to have a degree in theology to share your faith. I say to us this morning, we were not saved to be reservoirs. Because that's what we're doing. We're collecting all this water that we're getting from the Lord, and we become reservoirs. But we're called to be rivers of living water to a dry and barren world. There should be an outlet in our life to share our faith, to bless other people. And from the song we just sang now, the last one, just up a bit more, yeah. Thee I shall constantly proclaim, the earth and hell oppose, bold to confess thy glorious name before a world of foes. You're going to get opposition. They hated Jesus, they're going to hate you. If they like Jesus, they'll like you. Let's get over our fear. I want to encourage us this morning to examine ourselves again and think, how can I share my faith? How can I make it my lifestyle to share my faith? And we want to help you do that over this coming year through equipping you to do this, walking hand in hand with you to do this, encouraging you to do this. Not everybody can volunteer on a club night. We don't expect that. But be a light, be light and salt in your neighborhood, where you are, in your office, wherever you are. Be light and salt there. Share Jesus. Make him known. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for making yourself known to us, ultimately through Jesus Christ, when the Word became flesh. What an awesome revelation. And Father, I pray, as we've so wonderfully received, and we can sing songs like "Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound That Saved a Wretch Like Me." Father, there's so many more that need to sing that song with us. Help us, Lord, refresh us anew to share our faith and make you known. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.